God, we do thank you for relationships. We thank you that we can celebrate the covenant of marriage that we have a number of people enjoying. And we pray for continued protection from you over our relationships, whether it's marriage relationships or parenting relationships or friend relationships, work relationships, but particularly this morning, God, we pray for harmony within the house of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Another thing that I want to celebrate just before we jump in, we've been for the last 4 weeks taking a portion of our offering and giving it to a local organization, Community Center of Hope, and an organization in Liberia, West Africa, Teamwork Africa, and have been finding ways to help those organizations that are helping people who are most affected by COVID-19, people who are having a hard time having enough food in our own neighborhoods and on the other side of the world. And we have, by God's grace, by your generosity, we've been able to send over the last 4 weeks a total of $3,300 towards that effort. So thank you so much for that, and praise God for that. It's amazing what we can do when we work together. And that is that's really what the teaching today is about. You know, we're in a series that we're calling Reconstruct because so much of what we have known has been broken down. I'm in the OMC right now. I'm in the pretty part. The ugly part is over there, and I'm sorry to, we've got some people who are sitting over here who came here early and are here to help break down some of the walls. And I don't mean you guys. You're not the ugly part. The ugly part is everything that had to be vacuumed up and the things that we find when we take ceiling tiles out, the things that we find behind walls. There are ugly parts of a reconstruction project. There are ugly parts of demolition. And what we want to do is construct something in a way, construct the church. I'm not talking about the building, you understand. I'm talking about the assembled people of God. I'm talking about God's people gathering around God's word in order to do God's will. We want to build that in a way that is biblical, in a way that relies on God's Holy Spirit, in a way that doesn't always make sense to us. And yet we prayerfully follow his lead. It's not about us pleasing ourselves. It's about Jesus building his church. And we want to be operating according to his plan, according to his blueprints, in submission to him as our director. He will build his church. So famously, someone in history said, "A house divided against itself will not stand." And a lot of us know that as a quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said that even before he was president. He said it during an election to be to represent his state in Washington, an election that he lost. What he was talking about was the United States couldn't be half where slavery was allowed and then half where it wasn't. And then what about these new states being added? Are they going to be slave states or are they going to be free states? He said, we can't operate in both those ways. We're either going to be all one or all the other. And that was too controversial a statement for him to be elected. But we know that he went on to see that the United States remained united. Now, he was not just making up a nice phrase. People would have known that phrase to be a quote from Jesus. Jesus was the one who said way earlier that a house divided against itself will not stand. And what he was talking about was an answer to accusations. As he was casting out demons, as he was showing that he has all authority in spiritual matters, and people were questioning his authority because they didn't like some of the things that he said. They said, "You are casting out demons by the power of Satan." And he said, "No, I couldn't be, because a house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan is casting out Satan, then it would be destructive to his kingdom. That's not what's going on at all. What's going on is I am going to bind up the strong man, and I am going to plunder his house." And that's the mission that we're joining him on. That's the purpose of him building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He is plundering the house of the devil, who wants to take souls and keep them for eternity. This is the battle that we're engaged in. This is the church that Jesus is building. So as we talked last week about a foundation repenting from our sins and turning to faith in God, of putting our faith in action by being baptized and by being commissioned into a daily ministry, that it's not about us anymore, it's about his will for our lives, and it's about looking forward to a time when everyone, there's a resurrection of everyone, and we're brought to account and sent into eternity, basically based on our response to Jesus Christ. Do you accept his forgiveness? Do you believe in him and follow him as the Lord of your life or not? This is our foundation, those foundational truths. And on that foundation, God builds a house that needs to stand together. Now, Jesus said that about the house of the devil, that his house won't stand if it's divided. Lincoln said it about the United States. I think it's true of any sort of an organization that needs to be together. So today we're going to talk about how can we be, rather than a house divided, how can we be a house unified? And sometimes that even gets confused. So what I want to do as we look into Romans chapter 15 is I want to focus in on what does it mean to be a house in harmony. A house in harmony with each other. So we see that Jesus does pray for the church to be unified. He prays that we would all be one. That's what unity means. It means oneness. He prays that we would all be one in John 17, 21. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, Paul talks about how the church is going to be built, and he compares it to a body. So Jesus talks about oneness, and then Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, clarifies some of that, and he says, yes, we are one body. The body is made of diverse parts, though, many members. Wouldn't it be odd if the body was just an ear? No, it's different parts that work together and make each other stronger. So in 1 Corinthians 12:12 and in 1 Corinthians 12:19, Paul talks about that. And if we were to look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 15, if you've got a Bible that you can open up, that's great. Otherwise, it's going to be in the chat section. He says, "We who are strong must be considerate to those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not please ourselves." So to back ourselves into this passage, what he's talking about here, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. Things like what? Paul wants us to know that the church is unified, and yet there is a diversity. There's even a diversity of opinions, and in his context, what he's talking about here when he's writing a letter to the church in Rome, he's talking about eating. Some people have a sensitivity where they think it's morally wrong to eat meat, and they'll only eat vegetables. And some people think that there is a particular day that's holier than other days, and some people say all days are the same. Some people will drink certain things and not other things. There are these different disagreements that are going on even amongst believers, and Paul is saying you've got to deal with that. This isn't about uniformity. It's about unity and it's about harmony. What's the difference? Uniformity would be if everyone in the church thought alike. There's a famous quote, and I don't have it on my notes right now. You're gonna have to Google it, where somebody said, where everyone thinks alike, nobody thinks very much. I am grateful to be part of a church where not everybody thinks alike. And I will tell you, over the last few weeks, that has been exhausting to me. Because I know that I have a responsibility to provide some direction, to provide some answers in the midst of kind of a chaos going on in the world, that people look to me to be someone who is looking into God's word and praying and finding direction. And it's exhausting to be careful to say something in a way that doesn't drive a wedge between people. And what I need to remember, and what we all need to remember, is what Paul said in Romans 15. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. So I have to be able to trust people in the context of the church to be thinking about more than just themselves, that they're thinking of the broader church body. So let's dig deeper into what he has to say here. He said, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, the insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the scripture long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Even Christ didn't live to please himself. He knew there would be times where he would receive insult and he'd have to continue on. He'd have to continue loving. He'd have to continue caring. And in the midst of that, it says, the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. As God's promises are fulfilled, things are going to become a lot clearer. We're not going to have these disagreements. In the meantime, we find patience and encouragement through scripture. Verse 5, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the picture here. And I'm a choir nerd. You know, other guys in high school were on sports teams. I actually got an athletic letter in girls basketball for being their film tech. So I do have a letterman jacket and I have an athletic letter, but it is for girls basketball. That is not a lie. But then I got a lot of other stuff on my letter jacket for music, and choir was one of my greatest joys in school. I know some of you are going to pick on me, and I don't care. It was amazing, an amazing experience. So let me tell you what that helps me understand about what Paul is saying here. In choir, we had robes. So if you looked at the choir, you would say they're together, they're unified. And yet, we didn't all sing the same note. If we all sang the same note at the same time, it wouldn't be much of a choir. That's very basic, that's very fundamental, and it's boring. We had different sections. Now, some of you who are listening right now were in the same choir as me, and you remember some of those sections. In the tenor section, you guys were the worst. Good singers, but terribly disruptive. But anyway, so we had different sections. and the different sections would sing at different times, and they'd be singing different notes and sometimes even singing different words. The more advanced a choir can get, the more they can do that, split off into different parts. And yet, when all those parts are put together, they're singing as one choir. It requires so much discipline to be able to do that. And part of the discipline is to focus on the director, because the director is keeping us in rhythm together. So even as we're singing different notes and sometimes starting at different times, we're still in consistency with rhythm. We're still in a consistent key together. There are things that unify us, but there are these different parts. So we got to keep our eyes focused on the director who's giving us that, that rhythm, who's keeping us on beat together. But then we also have to be listening to the people around us. Because if I'm singing out too loud, I'm not blending in. I'm not becoming part of the one voice. So sometimes I have to bring it down a little bit and let someone else take the lead. Let someone else shine, because it's their part. And there are some times where I've got to bring it up. Maybe I've got a solo, or maybe my section is being featured in a part. So I've got to bring it up. But in order to know how to do that, I've got to be listening. So you've got to keep focused on the director, and you've got to be listening to people around you. How much is the church like that? We all have got to be focused on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We've got to keep our eyes on him. As Paul just said here, it's in the scriptures and from God that we start to understand the patience and the encouragement that we need in order to work together. And we've got to be listening to the people around us. We've got to have a sensitivity to what's happening around us. That's what Paul is saying here. He's describing the church like a choir singing in harmony. And yet, while in harmony, there is one voice. So we're building on a foundation, and we're building a house in harmony. I love that picture. And I am telling you, it does take work. It takes work to do that. And some of us are experiencing that kind of workout. We're wondering, well, how could somebody think this way? Or how could somebody do that? And you know what? That's a great opportunity to ask that person. What led you to that conclusion? What are you thinking? How are you feeling? We've got to do the hard work of listening to each other. So I'm grateful to Lonnie and Ariel and Zion, who gave us that video that was out last week. And I'm grateful to people who have sent me some of their thoughts and give me an opportunity to hear some different ideas. I mean, particularly as our nation is wrestling with some of these questions about race, about prejudice, about equality, on a national level, we've got to be a people operating in harmony. If we can't do that as the church, how are we going to lead? How are we going to be agents of change for the positive? How are we going to show God's kingdom in these worldly kingdoms? How are we going to do anything to make positive movement forward if we can't be in harmony ourselves? Again, I am grateful to be part of a church where there is diversity. There's diversity in age. There's diversity in ability. There's diversity in education. There's diversity in ethnicity. There's diversity of opinion. And we have the opportunity to follow what it says in Scripture, join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul continues in verse 7, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. That's what we want. We don't want this to be about ourselves. Remember what he says here. We must not just please ourselves. What we're moving towards, what we're praying for, what we want to see is God glorified. And as we accept each other, just as Christ has accepted us, God will be given glory. That's the direction that we want to go. So accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. And as Paul is writing this to the church in Rome, he's writing to people whose background is in paganism. They don't know about the Jewish laws, the ceremonial cleanliness. They don't know how to live in a way that pleases God, and they've lived in ways that are absolutely abhorrent to God. And Paul says to them, accept each other the way Christ accepted you. And we know that how Christ accepts us, and we see it in another part of Romans, that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. So accept other people as Christ accepted you. He didn't wait for you, Romans, to get your act together first. He didn't wait for you to become more like the Jewish people who were further along in what it looked like to please. He didn't wait for that. He loved you so much, he was willing to die for you. So you people in church, accept each other as Christ accepted you. You don't wait for somebody to think like you before you accept them. You are willing to make sacrifices on their behalf, to listen to them, to not focus on you being right, even though you may be. And Paul makes that clear here, that there are some people who are stronger in the faith who understand certain things better than other people do. And even when that is the case, it isn't your primary job to convince them that you are right. It is your primary job to work together in harmony in relationship so that God will be glorified. This is our challenge as we are constructing a church that glorifies God, that is done according to Scripture. This is part of what we need to do. We need to keep our eyes on Christ. We need to keep our eyes on our director. And we need to be listening to people around us. We need to be a house in harmony. As I think back to my time in choir, I remember my director, Carla Duell. You are amazing. Many hundreds and hundreds of people in this community have been directed by her, and her work continues. I remember there are times when if you're singing out a little bit too much, if you're watching your director will give you a little one of these, like just bring it down a little bit. And when there are times where you've got to really sing out, the director will give you one of these. I remember, I could just see her eyes, like, watch your director. Because one of the things that we've got to wrestle with is this patience and encouragement that we get from God. Sometimes God is giving us this, be patient here. And sometimes God is giving us this, have courage here. And there are times for both. And there are some of us who tend to err on the side of courage. And when people are talking about what's happening in the news, they just want to boldly swing the 2x4 of truth at somebody's head. And there is a time for patience, where we've got to be patient with people. So if your struggle right now is that you just don't understand how somebody can think this way, and you just, you know, if they would just listen, if they would just see this side of things, and you're ready to swing, if we look at our director, if we look in Scripture, there may be a time for patience here. There may be a time for listening. Some of us err on the side, and We've put it this way before. We get this from Jim Van Iperen, who has a Metanoia Ministries that talks a lot about conflict. And he says that some people emphasize truth, overemphasize truth at the expense of love. And we know that Jesus was full of both grace and truth, but they overemphasize truth at the expense of love. And then there are also those, and this is where the majority of our church tends to err, which is not a surprise because it's where your pastor tends to err. They emphasize love, overemphasize love at the expense of truth. And for us, for people who tend to say, you know what, yeah, they may be wrong, but I don't want to get involved in a conflict here. I don't want to step on any toes. I don't want to hurt anybody. There are times where we need to be courageous, where we need to speak a truth, even though it may be difficult for us to speak and difficult for someone else to hear. What we see in Romans 15 is that Scripture, God through Scripture, as we keep our eyes on the director, He provides patience and encouragement that allows us to live in harmony together so that with one voice we will praise and glorify our God. So as we reconstruct, as we're not even getting together in a large group at this point, what are some ways that you can do that? What are some ways that you can show patience, that you can show courage? I know maybe some of you are thinking, oh, he's about to tell us some of those ways. No, I'm not. I'm putting the question out there. That is your question for this week, because I can't even tell you. We are so diverse that I don't know how God is leading you. You have got to be looking at the director. I am not that director. You've got to be looking at what would God have you do here. And as I said, it can be tiring. It can be exhausting as we try to navigate these discussions. And yet, it is just that work that builds a church that is something more than a church that is made of one part, that is a church that is more than a church that works in uniformity. It's just that work that builds a church that is one body made of many parts. That is beautiful. That is what Jesus Christ is doing here. And as he builds his church, he aims to plunder the gates of hell. And he is imploring us as an army to do that together. And we find strength as we have patience with each other. And as we encourage, we find encouragement from Scripture. So this week, my challenge to you is to do that, to be in the business of praying, of looking into Scripture and discovering from God, what would you have me do in these hard discussions? And I want to send you off with a blessing from Romans 15, 5 and 6. We've already read it. I want to say it over you as a blessing this week. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. And if you have a bread or a cup with you, Jesus has given us instructions on how to put some of that into action, how to remember him. So I'm going to just read here. If you've got that bread and that cup, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." This is one of the acts that Jesus has given the church to remind us that we are in communion, that we are in union with him and with each other. So let's be in union with him and with each other right now. If you have a piece of bread or anything that you're going to eat, let's remember that in order to construct his church, Jesus had his body broken for us and his blood spilled to bring us into new covenant with him. Because he has done this, we have been given the right to be called children of God. No matter what your position, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your political party, no matter how you identify yourself, may your first identity be as a child of God, and may you live in harmony with other children of God who he is assembling into a house in harmony. This week, be part of that harmony. Love you guys. Miss you. See you soon. Go in peace.